And welcome to Ivy Radio. I'm your host, Mike Sportini, and I'm here with Dr. Megan Lubin from Ocean County Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates. Welcome, doctor.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. We've got a rainy day out here. Now, if you're listening to this another day, it might be sunny, but right now it seems to be rainy. We're going to talk about something we were chatting before saying, how has this never been discussed on Ivy Radio? And that's plantar fasciitis. What is plantar fasciitis?
Plantar fasciitis is actually an inflammation of the ligament that runs on the bottom of the foot. The ligament is right below the skin, so if you pull up your toes, you may feel or see a band underneath the skin. And plantar fasciitis is heel pain associated with that inflammation of the ligament under the skin.
Now, how does that come about? Is this something that is a genetic type of thing? Is it something from an injury? How do people get fasciitis?
It's multifactorial, so it's patients that are overweight and have more stress on the foot. It's extremes in arch height, very low arch or very high arch. A lot of times it's associated with patients that have very tight Achilles tendons, which is called Aquinas. It's also associated in patients who have stand on their feet for long periods throughout the day, such as work on concrete, just that hard surface, and the impact that it has on the heel. It's mostly in adults, so usually if there's heel pain in kids, it's something else.
So if I'm standing on my feet, is this something that is gender specific? Do you see more women with this than men, or is it pretty evenly across the board?
Pretty even across the board.
So if I'm standing, how do I prevent something like this? Is there certain things I should be looking at to prevent getting plantar fasciitis?
Yes. If you stand on concrete, such as a cashier, if they can put a mat down that has cushion, the other thing that we use routinely is orthotics, which are devices or supports that go into the shoe. And then stretching is also very important. So if you have a tight Achilles tendon, you need to stretch before you start your shift, you know, at the end of the day or before and after sporting activities as well.
And this, once I get this, how difficult is this? Because I hear there's these things that you can get, especially when it comes to feet, that just never go away. It just seems like we keep battling. Is this one of those types of things, or is this easily remedied through either physical therapy or some sort of a treatment?
The plantar fasciitis is actually something that we can treat very easily with non-surgical treatment. So about 80% of patients will get better within 1 year of treatment without surgery.
Now, As I was doing some research, and believe it or people don't usually believe I do the research on this stuff, but as I was looking through it, I noticed that there are also surgical techniques. I think it was called the plantar fasciitis release.
Mm-hmm.
Take me through that. When would that be done, and when would you say that is something that needs to be done versus more of a conservative treatment?
Right. Usually surgery is reserved for after 6 to 12 months of non-surgical treatment. And the plantar fasciitis release or plantar fascial release is one of the most common surgical procedures that we do. So after patients have been seen in the office and have been stretching or physical therapy, orthotics, injections in the office, if they're not getting better after about 6 to 12 months, then we have to look at our surgical options. The plantar fascia release is done two ways. So it can be done where you used arthroscopic equipment to open up and you basically release about two-thirds of that ligament from the bottom of the heel. That's done with very small incisions using a camera to visualize the ligament. Otherwise, it can be used as an open procedure where you make a much larger incision and visually see the fascia and release it. When this is done, the heel spur is not removed at the same time. There's been no evidence that removing the heel spur actually results in better long-term results. So it's simply a release of the ligament from the bottom of the foot.
Take me through that surgery, if you would. So I come into it's determined that I need this surgery. Is it done in the hospital? Is this an outpatient in my home?
It's an outpatient procedure, so it's usually done at a surgical center or a hospital setting. You come into that facility that day, and you'll leave the same day afterwards. It is done under some sedation, so you're in a twilight-type sleep, so usually patients are very comfortable. You would leave the same day, and usually patients are put into a boot, a cam walker or a pneumatic boot afterwards. Typically, you're able to walk on it, and the boot is worn for about 4 to 6 weeks postoperatively.
And that boot's to do what? Just to keep it still, essentially?
Yes, and because the ligament has been released, and essentially that ligament was tight prior to the release, the boot holds your foot up at about a 90-degree angle and puts a light tension or that neutral position on the foot, which allows that ligament where it was released to scar in and heals essentially elongated.
So, with this whole injury or this plantar fasciitis that we're talking about, what are the percentage of people that have surgery versus more conservative treatment?
Only about 2 to 5% of patients actually undergo surgical treatment for this. Most of the patients get better non-surgically.
Tell me a little about the foot itself. And you know, we're talking about the plantar fascia. So when you talk about plantar, that's the bottom of the foot. And
Yes.
but the foot to me seems a little complicated. And we're talking about plantar fasciitis, but I break an arm. I got one bone or two bones there, and we kind of figure that out. Foot injuries, are they more complicated to diagnose and treat than some of these other, you know, more routine kind of things, I guess?
Absolutely, because the foot has multiple small bones. There's ligaments, there's very tiny muscles that come into the foot, and that are in the foot, and then there's tendons that come from the leg into the foot. And these tendons cross the ankle joint, all the way into the toes sometimes. So the foot is a complicated structure, but when you work with the foot every day, it becomes a
A
little
little
more
easier, huh?
easy.
Yeah, I always looked at it and I saw the foot and I just said, boy, you know, this just think there's the little bones in there. And when you look at a picture of it, if I'm in an anatomy book or something along those lines, and then I'm looking at the knee and I'm saying, that seems a little easier to deal with than this foot. But I guess when you're talking about the tendons from the leg, the muscles in the leg coming in there, it's all kind of tied together then. So this plantar fasciitis, can it cause other issues then if we're not taking care of it?
Certainly, it can cause you to compensate with the way you walk on the foot. So if you have heel pain, and the heel pain is usually on the inside of the foot or the medial side of the foot, I've seen routinely that patients start to walk towards the outside of the foot, and that compensation leads to injuries on the outside of the foot, whether ankle sprains or stress fractures of the bones on the outside of the foot. And then you have to treat those problems as well as the underlying disease of the plantar fascia.
So let me take it the other way then. If I have something else going on, I don't know, with my hip or my knee, could that cause plantar fasciitis then?
It could essentially, because if you say you have a contracture there at the ankle and that Achilles tendon is short or really tight, that's one of the most common causes of plantar fasciitis, because the Achilles tendon sends some fibers down around the heel into the foot as well. So we have to look at the whole lower extremity when we're looking at foot injuries or pain.
We're going to take a quick break here, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the treatment of it, more conservative wise, talk about a little bit about injections and some of the other things you hear. But let's take a quick break here and we'll be back.
When it comes to fixing what hurts, you want to be seen immediately by the best. Ivy Rehab's patients voted them the number one outpatient healthcare company in the country.
What you do now, what you do now, you do now, it's up to you.
Did you get hurt over the weekend? Ivy Rehab's Monday morning injury clinic is now open.
No appointment or prescription necessary.
Just come in and we'll get to work. Ivy Rehab Physical Therapy. Find a location near you at ivyrehab.com.
And we're back here with Dr. Megan Lubin from Ocean County Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates, and we're talking about plantar fasciitis. And we just talked about some of the treatments from a surgical perspective. But let's go back to what we chatted about earlier, which was the conservative treatments. You talked about the stretching. Talk preventative for me first. If I don't want to get this, if I'm one of these people that are on my feet a lot, how often should I stretch? How much should I stretch? Are there certain types of stretches that I should be focused on?
Absolutely. So the stretching that I recommend is mostly focused at the Achilles tendon. So if you think of your traditional calf stretches, those are the ones that I have patients focus on. I usually recommend anywhere between 2 to 3 times a day trying to stretch. And the exercise, you want to go through repetition. So you do one foot, then the other. Even if it's the pain and the heel pain is only on one side, I do recommend stretching both feet and legs at the same time. And in terms of prevention, like we mentioned before, the orthotics are also key when you're standing on your foot, just to help support the foot. And of course, shoe gear has a big impact. If your shoes are very flexible or floppy and not enough cushion, then you're not going to have that extra shock absorption, and the heel can get aggravated and inflamed very quickly.
How do I know? This is an interesting area to chat about a little bit, is orthotics and shoes. How do I know if my shoes are good? I mean, they seem to feel good on my feet, but they might not be the best because I'm not that savvy about this. And orthotics, I walk into a store and they're all over the place. Is there certain orthotics I should be looking at? Is it specific to a person? Should they be custom made? Should they be bought off the shelf? I mean, what is the best suggestion?
For orthotics, I usually recommend custom molded foot orthotics, which are the custom made orthotics. Some insurances cover them, some don't. But if your insurance does cover them, then it's a great option. Though with a custom orthotic, we literally take a mold or an impression of your foot, and then we can add in the modifications that you need. So for patients with heel pain, I usually add in, with the supportive orthotic, the cushion in the heel, plus the control with the motion for support. There are a lot of good alternatives beyond the custom orthotics for treatment, which we consider the over-the-counter ones, the ones that come out of a box. Mm-hmm. And we're looking for something that's supportive. So you shouldn't be able to bend the orthotic in half. We really need support. So a flexible plastic material is what you would look for. Some of them have padding or lining overlying them, and that's okay. Usually patients who benefit from just a simple cushion in the heel, they're usually our older patient population who maybe has some loss of the heel fat pad and fat pad atrophy there. They would benefit from more cushion, but most patients are looking for support. Mm-hmm. In terms of shoes, I always tell the patients, if you can ball your shoe up and fold it in half, that usually does not afford a lot of support. So right now, ballet flats are really popular for women, and some of them do have options that are more supportive than others, but most of them are very flexible. So that's not going to give you a lot of control with motion of the foot, and it's going to prevent excess, it's going to add excess motion, which is going to cause heel pain.
I got to ask the question because I argue with my wife all the time on this. She wears the high-heeled shoes, and one, it never looks comfortable to me, so I don't know how. Are those bad for you? I mean, at the end, and I know this is a little off topic, but it's when you're talking about shoes, it's kind of one of those questions that always comes up. You see the high-heeled shoes. Are they bad for you to wear?
They really are bad for you to wear. If we're going back to patients with plantar fasciitis, many patients with plantar fasciitis wear high heels all day. Hmm. So say you have an occupation that requires you to wear high heels, and then on the weekend you decide to wear something more casual. Well, that difference in the height of the heel can actually cause some strain on that Achilles tendon and underlying plantar fascia, which can aggravate the heel pain. So a patient who routinely wears high heels will probably feel more comfortable with high heels. But on a side note, high heels do put more pressure towards the ball of your foot. So we see many patients come in with pain up by the toes, where the toes mm-hmm. connect to the foot, resulting in discomfort there.
Yeah, they've never looked very comfortable to me. Now, I haven't tried them, but I've never really. Let's talk injections and steroidal or anti-inflammatory injections or whatever the new buzzword is on these things. Are they effective? I've heard mixed results on this. I've heard it's a temporary relief, but it's not a fix. I've heard that, no, sometimes if you get it at the right spot, it works forever. What is the real deal about injections for an anti-inflammatory situation?
If we're talking about plantar fasciitis specifically, I find that patients who get injections or steroid injections around that inflamed ligament actually do better quicker than patients who do not. Now, the amount of relief and duration of relief varies between patients. Some patients get 2 days of relief. Some patients get 6 months of relief. And it really is dependent on the patient. It's dependent on how long the patient's had the symptoms and had the inflammation, if it's more chronic inflammation at that ligament or more acute inflammation. If it's more acute, they tend to do better quicker anyway. But for plantar fasciitis, it is one of my mainstays of treatment is the steroid injection. Unless there's contraindications to it, you know, with diabetes, it can raise your blood sugar. So if you're a diabetic patient, that may not be the first line of treatment.
Gotcha. So we've talked about the prevention. We've talked about stretching, conservative treatments, physical therapy, for example. Ivy Rehab, obviously a physical therapy company. But what types of things would you suggest they do in a physical? Is it more of the stretching? Is it ultrasound? Are there different types of modalities that you would suggest if you're referring someone to a physical therapy?
I refer many patients with plantar fasciitis to physical therapy, and I like them to work on the stretching exercises and the range of motion, but I think physical therapy also offers the modalities that the patients cannot do at home, and those include the ultrasound, the therapeutic ultrasound. There's strapping that can be done in physical therapy. There's something called iontophoresis, which can help to distribute a steroid there around the ligament to prevent inflammation, and TENS unit, which is electrical stimulation, which is what most patients benefit from in therapy that I've found.
Dr. Megan Lubin from Ocean County Foot and Ankle Surgical Association, chatting about plantar fasciitis. This is an interesting, as we said, we didn't speak about this, but you said this is pretty common. How common is this injury? Is this something that we are, one out of every three people get, two out of every whatever numbers you want to use, but how common is it?
It's probably the most common cause of heel pain that we see in the office. I don't have the exact statistics for the percentage of population, the population that gets it, but it's one of the most common things we see in the office. I mean, you see several patients throughout the day that have plantar fasciitis.
So it's something that you're seeing every day then. This is something that's not an oddball coming walking in. You're seeing this as a regular basis. Is this something that can be misconstrued for something else?
Oh, absolutely. There can be other causes of heel pain. There's several causes of heel pain, actually. When you come into the office, we take x-rays because a calcaneal stress fracture or a heel stress fracture can mimic this. Even bone tumors can cause heel pain, so we take x-rays to identify either one of those. There's also some nerve entrapments, which can cause pain into the heel. So basically, there's an equivalent of carpal tunnel, as you know, in the wrist that occurs in the ankle that can cause heel pain because that nerve has a branch that goes to the heel. And if it's compressed, it can cause severe heel pain, mostly associated with tingling and numbness, but also that sharp knife-like pain that you get with plantar fasciitis as well.
So it's not a standalone. You have to go through the whole rundown, the whole evaluation to figure this thing out.
Complete evaluation.
Gotcha. Well, Dr. Megan Lubin, I appreciate you coming on the show and being with us today. It was great chatting with you. If you want to speak to Dr. Megan Lubin, or if you want to make an appointment with Dr. Lubin, you can call 732-505-4900. That's 4900.
45.
I'm sorry, 45. What did I give the wrong number? I gave it to that was my office. They're calling my office. So it's 732-505-4500. Ocean County Foot and Ankle Surgical Associates down here in Toms River. And again, thank you for being on the show, and hopefully we speak about some of these other things soon.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.